That was a bit of a theme song for The Toxic Avenger, a breakthrough independent movie directed by my guest today. Welcome to Words and Pictures, the show about the narrative arts. I'm your host, S.W. Conser, and I'm joined by a director, screenwriter, producer, and co-founder of the film studio Troma Entertainment. His films include Class of Nukem High, Sergeant Kabuki Man, and four different Toxic Avenger movies, plus a reboot on the way. And he's the author of several books, including Make Your Own Damn Movie, Sell Your Own Damn Movie, and All I Need to Know About Filmmaking I Learned from the Toxic Avenger. Lloyd Kaufman, welcome to Words and Pictures.
Well, damn it, thank you so much. And I'm so excited to come to fucking Oregon so I can play my fucking shitty hashtag Shakespeare storm, the Hollywood theaters. The best theater we've ever played, God damn it. Luckily, I know you're not going to censor any of this because the title is hashtag Shakespeare's storm. So thank you for not censoring. It's really great, and I'm sure there won't be any beeps.
You said one very bad word there. That was Oregon. It's actually it's actually Oregon.
We'll change it to Troma, Oregon. But I am going to be at Movie Madness. Yeah, you know, the museum. It's like a museum. I'm going to sign at the Movie Madness video store.
Before we get started, I'd like to remind all of our listeners that we are currently in the midst of KBOO's all-important spring membership drive. We hope that you've been enjoying our programming and that you'll take a moment to become a member of KBOO. Right now, all gifts will be matched one-to-one up to $12,000. Because we're still being cautious and not yet opening up our studios, we don't have volunteers in the station to take your calls right now. But you can show your support by giving online, kboo.fm, or text KBOO to 44321. KBOO is one of the very last media outlets that still brings you local and independent news, music, and public affairs. We've been doing this here in Portland for over half a century, and this program has been coming to you for nearly 20 years now, inviting important cultural figures into the studio and venturing out to events that might fly beneath the radar of the big media monoliths. So yes, you can support this very special programming today by going online to kboo.fm/give or simply text KBOO to 44321. And if you prefer to go analog, we're always happy to receive a contribution in the mail. The address of the station is 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, 97214. So Lloyd, tell us a little bit about Troma Entertainment. This is a studio that you started back in the, 1970s with your business partner?
Michael Hirst and I began at Troma Entertainment, 1974. And movies of the future until about 46 years later when Mr. Hirst changed the slogan to disrupting media for 46 years. Now it's 49 years. And it's just the mainstream. It's too stupid. When they see an original movie, they don't know what to do with it. Cannibal the Musical. It wasn't finished. I understand that. So the big shots, maybe they were too stupid to see the talent. But we got it. And we finished the film for Trey Parker and Matt Stone. And it's one of our greatest. And Toxic Avenger took 35 years for the mainstream to realize that it's a better film than Doctor Strange, right? Who gives a shit about Doctor Strange? Who gives a shit storm about Doctor Strange? $200 million over the weekend, though. So, but I think hashtag Shakespeare's storm, it has been given a pretty good chance. And the New York Times gave it a very good review. And who knows? Maybe it'll catch on. We just don't have any money for advertising. So any of you Troma fans out there, this is the big advertising.
So the film that you're bringing to town, your latest film, it's called Shakespeare's Storm, and it's an adaptation of
hashtag. The hashtag is very important. The two themes. One is dealing with big pharma, and the other is dealing with so-called snowflakes. and the bullshit that comes out of the internet from these third-rate bloggers and people who are afraid to put their name on any, you know, these anonymous and political correctness that goes to the extreme of fascism.
Well, you mentioned Cannibal the Musical. So Troma Entertainment, they're all about distributing independent films. And one of the ones they distributed was a student film by the guy who would go on to start South Park, Trey Parker. And the film was called Cannibal the Musical. And
they hadn't finished it. They ran out of, they made it when they were graduate, getting kicked out of school or something. But my wife and I watched it and it was hilarious. So the boys came to us, they were fans, and they came to us first. I was the first stop on the train, and Michael Herz told them, look, go to the rich boys, go to the Big Shot, and the movie's hilarious. You might get a big advance payment. And they went to all the big shots who were too stupid to realize that, the big companies only have people who say no, unless it's elitism or nepotism or some kind of job-ism. So we ended up being the last stop on the train. We helped Matt and Trey finish the movie. And the opening of Cannibal, the musical, is as Troma-esque as it could be. The rest of the movie is really much more benign and more sophisticated and more like a genuine musical. It's like Oklahoma meets The Toxic Avenger Part 2. But at the time, we had had success with Class of Newcomb High and some of our movies. So we wanted to give the fans something. And Trey and Matt shot this beautiful opening scene. It was great, very Troma-ish.
Now, there's a fun bit of trivia I want to mention. Trey Parker and Matt Stone, film students at the University of Colorado at Boulder, their film, Cannibal the Musical, featured a cameo by avant-garde filmmaker Stan Brakhage,
yes,
who taught them film.
The greatest visual artist of my lifetime. And he's the only one, Trey said he was the only one who gave them any kind of encouragement. He was a good guy. We brought him to Yale in 1960. I want to say 65, and I interviewed him, Stan, on the radio, the Yale radio station, and I asked him one question. He spoke for about an hour, and it was brilliant material. It was so, you know, great wisdom about art and, you know, the whole thing, and the boys didn't, you know, it was all boys in those days at Yale. They didn't like that. They wanted to hear the Supremes or Billy Joel or whatever.
So you were a radio guy in college.
Freshman year, I tried out for the Yale radio station and was basically kicked out. I interviewed Lillian Gish. I interviewed Stan Brakhage. I interviewed, I could have had a great gay experience. Montgomery Clift, who came to my house. Anyway, apparently that wasn't good enough. So they kicked me out. They said I was too much of a wise guy.
So you were talking to all these film history legends when you were at Yale, when you were an undergrad, but you weren't studying film at the time, were you?
No, there was no film then. There probably still isn't anything that's worthwhile there other than, I mean, maybe physics or chemistry, but I don't think there's much in the way of arts. They have some kind of theater school, Yale repertory, who knows, you know.
And you were majoring in Chinese studies, and this was during the Mao Zedong era, right?
And I ended up speaking pretty well. And when China opened up, I went over there a few times. They did a big retrospective at the Shanghai Film Festival about 25 years ago of Troma. And they made a lot of money with it because they took our prints and bicycled them around to several theaters. I went to one of the theaters too. People spitting on the floors, all sorts of excitement.
So I wanted to circle back to Yale because I've been told you were classmates at Yale with Oliver Stone, and legend has it that you grew up with Oliver and encouraged him to get into filmmaking.
Well, not quite, but we did grow up together from the age of about six, very young.
Wow.
Folks were very good buddies. And we used to have sleepovers where he just beat the shit out of me and I'd go home crying. that led to a long friendship. But he when we were at Yale, I was making movies and he would hang around. He was writing a very bad novel. I don't think he had thought about making movies, but he sort of hung around and we made Rappaccini based on a Hawthorne short story. And then he is in the first film that I made that actually got into some movie theaters. Michael Herz actually liked it at the time. And although it's unwatchable, he was very, very polite. Oliver's in that film. And then Oliver was one of the producers on Sugar Cookies with the Mary Warrenoff, Lynn Lowry, and a bunch of the Warhol superstars. And he wanted to form a company together with me, but he was too crazy.
Oliver was too crazy for you, Oliver Stone?
He's a psycho. Yeah, he's one of the greatest American filmmakers in history. So was Howard Hawks, so was John Ford.
Well, you in particular get credited with opening up the whole sort of filmmaking model. You know, nowadays, anybody can pick up some digital filmmaking equipment and make a film. But back in the 70s and 80s, you were really encouraging this model where people could go out and just go nuts with their camcorders or their little Bolexes or whatever.
Bolex, yes. I still have my Bolex.
Me too.
Yay.
So you get a lot of credit for that. You get a lot of credit for being an influence on the kind of gutter punk film movement.
Yep. I don't argue with that, without a doubt. And we're still here. How many movie studios who are genuinely independent have survived 50 years? Nobody.
Let me mention that you got your start working for Canon Films, and that's a studio that was famous for B-movies, but also they produced Oscar-nominated films like Joe and Runaway Train.
They did. Well, I don't know about Runaway Train, but I was there for I worked on Joe, which is where I met John G. Avildsen, who turned out to be a very important mentor of mine and led to my my Oscar-winning performance in Rocky, the Oscar-winning movie. And I was in the exterior of Rocky, where Stallone picks me up. I'm a drunk laying in the gutter, and he picks me up, puts me on his shoulder, and takes me inside the bar. But you don't see inside the bar, because in Philadelphia, it was mainly exteriors. But if I would pay my way to L.A., John G. Avildsen said I could be in the interior. So I kind of went to L.A., and there I am in the several scenes.
So you're a drunk in the street in Philadelphia, and then you're an inside drunk in L.A.?
Yep.
Okay.
In the exterior, I was genuinely drunk. In the interior, I was quite sober. And then we worked together on Slow Dancing in the Big City. And finally, before that was Saturday Night Fever.
Right.
Avildsen got booted, but I stayed on and learned at the knee of John Badham, who was also a brilliant director. So I got lucky with Rocky, Saturday Night Fever, both of which were like my film schools.
Yeah, and you've done a lot of freelance work for big Hollywood movies as well as famous art films. So you were in charge of locations for Saturday Night Fever. There's a great story that I heard about your work there. Apparently there was a house the producers wanted to use as a shooting location. And John Travolta was really popular at the time. He was Vinnie Barbarino on Welcome Back, Kotter. And so instead of actually offering this family money, you offered them dinner with John Travolta and they let you use the house?
Well, they let it, the Saturday Night Fever was, they put me on that because I saved them millions of Troma, not just me, but Troma saved them a load of money. All the Rocky iconic scenes were shot in Philadelphia using a non-union crew. The crew that had shot Cry Uncle, which Avildsen directed, and which you can see safely and securely on Troma Now. It's a hilarious movie. Came out as an X rating, but basically today it'd be PG. Cry Uncle, you should see it. It's absolutely hilarious. A wonderful satire. Avildsen turned a turd into a diamond. Cry Uncle. But anyway, so I had the opportunity to work a lot with him and a big influence. And I think part of the reason that Toxie and Kabuki Man and our movies, which are a little too outrageous, the reason that they have become underground classics is the pathos, the Capra-esque characters in our movies. The I would call it the Avildsen heart and soul that come out of Frank Capra and Preston Sturges. So he was a big deal. And Badham, I learned a lot too, because Badham came on with about 2 weeks of notice and rewrote a lot of the script and added some action And I think, you know, Avildsen would have done a great job if he continued, but Batum did do a great job. And I don't know how Saturday Night Fever ended up, but was it successful?
You're listening to Words and Pictures. I'm your host, S.W. Counser. And today we're talking with Lloyd Kaufman. He's a fiercely independent director and producer, and he's co-founder of the film studio Troma Entertainment. Before we get back to the conversation, I'd like to take a moment to remind our listeners that KBOO is in the midst of our spring membership Hive Drive, now through May 28th. We hope that you've been enjoying our programming and that you'll take a moment to become a member of KBOO. Our studios are still closed to phone volunteers, but we have all sorts of options for donating. If you'd like to pledge on the web, you can visit kboo.fm/give. You can also text KBOO to 44321. And if you prefer to go analog, we're always happy to receive a contribution in the mail. The address of the station is 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, 97214. And remember, right now, all gifts will be matched one-to-one up to $12,000. Again, the webpage is kboo.fm/give. On your mobile device, you can text KBOO to 44321. And of course, you can reach us by mail at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, 97214. And now let's talk some more with our guest, Lloyd Kaufman. Well, back in the 20th century, special effects were mostly practical, meaning that a sculptor would build some sort of a replica, like a miniature or rubber mask that would look real on film. And, you know, even Doctor Who nowadays is using digital effects. You know, nowadays, all the studios seem to have switched to computer-generated effects. What about Troma? You still believe in practical effects, though?
I don't think Troma has ever done anything of a practical nature. So I have to take a little offense. We do, how shall I say it, Brechtian special effects, Thornton Wilder special effects, breaking the fourth wall. So you can see when the appliance is sort of coming off, or you can see backstage in the Troma movies. But basically, we love practical, what you would call practical effects. And a lot of them happen to be just simple solutions. Things that, like the head squashing in Toxic Avenger, that could have cost a couple of $1,000. Instead, Michael Herz came up with the notion, have a body, have a torso, put a melon, put a wig on the melon, draw a happy face, and presto, you can squash ahead. And it worked great. And then we could serve the melon to the craft service table for dessert.
Very double healthy. Duty.
A little rubbery taste, maybe, but.
Well, and you've
it has to be a cantaloupe. I fired somebody on Tales from the Crapper. Trey Parker's head gets squashed, and they brought a green melon, a honeydew melon. You can't, that's no good. The skin's this thick. Whereas a nice ripe cantaloupe, the skin is, you know, it's like that, you know, that kind of stuff. It's very technical. You'd have to read my 7 books on making your own damn movies.
Well, you know, make your own damn movie. You've shared this technology. You've hosted special effects workshops, yes. Make your own damn film masterclasses, where, yeah, you demonstrate how to crush a fake head or rip a character's fake arm off.
Wow, you did a lot. You dug deep here. Thank you so much.
Hey, full disclosure, I actually ran lights for one of your workshops in Portland.
Oh, no kidding. Thank you.
Yeah, the one at the Jefferson Theater. So yeah, tell us a little about these workshops. You would invite people to participate in these special effects on stage.
Yes, very entertaining. And a lot of the technique that we have learned, like Louis Pasteur said, there's a simple solution to every problem. So we kind of show how we are able to solve things. And in fact, on Troma Now, the streaming service, use the Troma app, it's free. But there are a lot of my special lessons, how to make blood, for example. If you're outdoors, for example, and you want to make blood and put it on people, we use, for the most part, Karo syrup, which is a liquid form of sugar. Mix it with the vegetable coloring and a little soap so it doesn't stain your clothing, and presto. But if you're outdoors and you're using something with sugar, the bees and the insects are going to come to the dead people, and you're going to see that they're going to be moving around. And so you use hair gel. See, just in this one interview, I've given you more valuable information than the guy who did Licorice Pizza will give you in his entire career. Holy cow, what was that about? Licorice Pizza. Anyway, hashtag Shakespeare's Storm. I would say 90% of the movie is practical, and there's probably 10% of CGI. I don't want to spoil it for you, but the CGI is as good as it gets. We had major, major people doing the CGI who did it for free, basically. But in Return to Newcomb High and Return to Newcomb High, the two-part movie suggested by one Quentin somebody or other, he suggested that. But there is CGI, but knowing that we couldn't compete with the mainstream technically, we did kind of, again, breaking the fourth wall. We basically made the CGI obvious, you know, and it's kind of fun too.
When you were growing up in the 1950s and early 60s, science fiction and horror movies were all the rage. At the time, though, they weren't considered prestige pictures. They were dismissed as B-movies, drive-in movies. But the themes they often tackled were subjects that Hollywood wasn't touching. Cold War politics, atomic energy, racism, authoritarianism.
Well, you're talking about the career of Roger Corman, who, as far as that's the only one I really understand, because Guess Who's Coming to Dinner Tonight by Stanley Kramer was 100% boring and did nothing. It was absolutely not. But The Trip, on the other hand, written by an actor, directed by Corman, brilliant, about LSD. And the one with William Shatner, the interloper, what's it called? It's wonderful, great. It's got religion, it's got all sorts of stuff. Anyway, Corman did it. He did some great, and we've taken the mantle. Well, we haven't. He's still the super duper.
Roger Corman is still with us. He's still, you know.
We've been friends. Our families are friendly. And we just went to a show of his daughter's art here in New York. And Roger was there, 90-something years old.
Yeah, he might make it to his 100th birthday.
Wouldn't that be great? Yeah. Two of our daughters are making a serious documentary about family and the trauma, the growing up with the debutante mother and the film commissioner mother and the sad, drunken trauma father. And it's a very interesting documentary. And Roger and Julie are the executive producers. And they've been wonderful friends for 50 years, at least.
I've got a book by Roger Corman called How I Made 100 Movies in Hollywood and Never Lost a Dime. I know that Troma Studio...
I do it the other way.
Yeah, I know. Troma Studio has had more ups and downs than Roger's American International Pictures.
Look, yeah, Parker wrote the introduction to one of the books, and he says nobody knows how to make money losing movies than Lloyd Kaufman. That's the quote on my Twitter profile.
And yet you're still here. I mean, you've survived all those adventures and misadventures.
Yeah, no, somehow... our fans are the secret sauce, without a doubt. Our fans act in the movies. They give us money. And the people who shoot the movies, we had people from the top Hollywood camera team from L.A. The guy who did most of the practical effects was from California and a Hollywood guy. But the point is, if you work on a trauma movie, you can take some risks and do things you would never get away with if you're working on a $20 million Hollywood movie, because those have to be sausages.
Well, you know, of all the movies that I've seen of yours, it's never totally serious, the whole way through at least. There's a tradition of Jewish American humor that can be pretty transgressive at times. It runs from vaudeville to Mad Magazine to Mel Brooks to The Magnificent Mrs. Maisel's. You definitely bring some of that tradition into Troma Productions.
I agree with you, not just 100%, but 1,000%. There's no question. My grandfather was in vaudeville. I don't know if you remember Ed Wynn, but he was. They were in vaudeville. They had an act together. I don't remember what the name was, but and he didn't. He got out. My grandfather got out of it just as Ed Wynn was becoming a star, which is what we're very good in doing that in our family. But the point is, I have a bit of a tradition. My mother was a theater person, and my father read Punch magazine and The Spectator, and we had New Yorker as kids. And you know, we grew up with a lot of humor. And of course, Mad Magazine is a huge influence on me. The Producers is like our anthem movie, Mel Brooks. And Woody Allen, we love Woody Allen. I don't care too much for some of them, but certainly his comedies are wonderful. And his book, the latest book, was wonderful and had a lot of words I had to look up, Jewish words, as a matter of fact, because my folks were not religious. They were jet set types.
You've been listening to Words and Pictures. I'm your host, S.W. Conser. And we've been talking today with director, screenwriter, producer, and author Lloyd Kaufman. His books include Make Your Own Damn Movie and All I Need to Know About Filmmaking I Learned from the Toxic Avenger. His latest film is an adaptation of The Tempest called Shakespeare's Shitstorm.
Hashtag, please, the hashtag. I don't care about the shit, but the hashtag is very important.
Yeah, Lloyd, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, and thank you, Portland, for being so kind to Trome Entertainment over the many years, and a big thank you to Dan at the Hollywood Theater. I hope that you will prosper and that the this coming summer will be peaceful, and if not, the Toxic Avenger is going to come and mop up.
Well, for those listeners who might be interested in finding out more about your work, where would they look?
Well, I would suggest, first of all, Troma Now. If you want to see great movies, it's free the first month. So enjoy about 1,000 documentaries, movies, music videos that I've directed, lessons in making films, make your own damn movie. And if you watch these documentaries, you won't need to go to film school. And then, of course, you have the TromaDirect.com where you can buy the hard goods.
So, Portlanders who would like to run into you, see you in person this weekend, how would they do that?
Well, I say come to the Hollywood Theater and see the Northwest premiere of hashtag Shakespeare's Storm. If any of you have seen The Tempest, it will make the film much more delightful to you. But if you don't know The Tempest and you haven't had time to review it, the movie's great just as it is.
And you're making an afternoon appearance as well in
Portland. I met a guy on Grindr. We'll be getting. You mean the Movie Madness. The Troma team, Toxie will be there, I think. And we'll have some brand new merch and wonderful new movies that we put on Blu-ray and DVD. And amazing, worthless merchandise. So you can get free photographs and free signatures. And I'll sign anything.
Well, we hope that everybody has been enjoying our special programming for KBOO's Spring Membership Drive. Before we go, I'd like to remind all of our listeners that this community radio station needs your support, as our physical studios are remaining closed for the time being. To become a member of KBOO or to arrange for a donation of any size, please visit kboo.fm/give. You can also text KBOO to 44321. Or if you prefer, you can mail a contribution to the station at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, 97214. Again, the webpage is kboo.fm/give. On your mobile device, you can text KBOO to 44321. And of course, you can reach us by mail at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, 97214. Thanks to all our listeners on the radio dial and on the web. You can find an archived version of this show later today at kboo.fm/wordsandpictures. And be sure to follow us on social media at Words and Picture.